The Burt Show.
Patrick Burns now joins us from Ghost Towns. How are you, Patrick?
I'm doing great, Bert.
Good, man. You were saying this is a busy, busy, busy time of year for you.
Oh, yeah. I'm like Santa Claus on his final run on Christmas Eve right now, let me tell you.
At this time of year, are the spirits like more active around Halloween, or is that just...
I don't think there's any increase in activity around this time of year. I think it's more at the forefront of people's minds and imaginations at this time of year. But we capture this activity, you know, equally dispersed throughout the rest of the calendar.
Tell everybody what Ghost Towns is before we get into this more.
Ghost Towns is the largest paranormal investigators network in the Southeast, and we have currently over 3,000 subscribers on our site. I founded the group in 2001, and we are a loosely knit network of people that go out and investigate hauntings and reports of hauntings.
So is there a whole industry that caters to this specific cause where they're creating electronics and...
You know, it's not really an industry, Bert. It's 99.9% of the people that do this, it's a hobby. You know, we do it for our own curiosity, our own interest. There really is, it's very difficult to make any money at this unless you happen to be on a TV show or you happen to write a book or something like that. Most of the equipment that we use is off-the-shelf electronics, and we sort of modify it in some way to use it for what we need to use it for.
Where do you find the most paranormal activity in Atlanta?
In Atlanta, within the perimeter, believe it or not, there's not as much activity within the city itself. As you start to get into the burbs, Stone Mountain, Marietta, Roswell, Lawrenceville, Gwinnett County, the surrounding areas seem to have more activity than the city itself does. And there are a couple of theories about why that might be. Probably the most popular is the fact that the city was burnt down and then reconstructed and reconstructed again. So nobody really knows where things are from a historical perspective. You know, we don't really know where to go and concentrate. Okay, well, here's where something significant happened back in history. We can go and concentrate our efforts there. Everything is sort of scattered around.
Is it true that you find more paranormal activity around graveyards, or is that just a cliche?
You know, we find that, now there are some investigators out there that will disagree with me, and there are some that think that cemeteries and graveyards are not haunted. I believe that they are active. We have recorded a substantial amount of activity in cemeteries, and I think there is activity in cemeteries. Usually the older ones are the more active.
Melissa loves this.
I do. I know.
Patrick, why did you get interested in this field, this hobby that's now become a career for you with your television show? But what was the first thing that happened to you where you said, I have to get into this?
Well, you know, I tell everyone it probably started when I was a wee little child and watching Casper the Friendly Ghost. And of course, I was reassured by my parents when I was a child growing up, there's no such things as ghosts. And about the time I was 7 or 8 years old, the woman who had purchased my grandparents' house after they had both passed on, we lived in the house right next door. And we moved away. And my grandparents' house was purchased by a husband and wife who lived down the street from us. And she called my mom sometime after they had purchased my grandparents' house. And they said, I don't know quite how to tell you this, but I was fixing breakfast in the kitchen this morning. I turned around and your mother was standing there looking at me, and she just faded away. And my mom was like, you know, big skeptic, right? Okay, whatever. Until she described what my grandmother was wearing. She said it looked like she was wearing a purple house coat or a purple or a lavender robe. And my mom's jaw, she had to pick it up off the floor at that point, because that was my grandmother's favorite thing to wear around the house on the holidays. And I think that made my mom a believer. And of course, you know, how cool is that for me? My own grandmother's been seen as a ghost. You know, complete topsy-turvy, you know, 180-degree turn. Ghosts don't exist. Well, yes, they do. And your grandmother has been seen as one.
Unreal.
So it just sort of became a lifelong hobby and lifelong curiosity of mine.
I've told these guys, I believe. I mean, I lived up in Old Town Alexandria,
right,
which is kind of a hotbed for activity kind of thing. And we lived in a townhouse and had no idea where the land was really, I mean, what happened or the history of the land.
Sure.
And I would be up in my office in the attic, and from time to time I would see the kind of just silhouette of a boy that was between 8 and 11 years old, kind of a bowl cut in a black suit with like a white or a black really skinny tie. Mm-hmm. And every time I would see it, I would turn to look at it.
Sure.
And it was gone.
Yep.
You and see it happened your, half a dozen times.
Out of your peripheral vision.
Right.
That is where most apparitions that you're going to see are going to occur out of your peripheral vision. I tell people when they're getting into this, when they're starting to become an investigator, I say, pay attention to what's going on in the corner of your eye, you know, and don't turn to look at it right away. Let it sort of sit there for a little while and just sort of keep an eye on it out of the corner of your eye and see what it does. And sometimes you'll see this stuff manifest into what we refer to a full-bodied apparition, an FBA.
It jacks with you. Like, you start talking yourself out of it. Like, you know what you're seeing out of the corner of your eye. But then when you look at it and it's gone, you just talk yourself out of it. Yeah. Then after it happens like five or six times in the same place, like, I found myself trying to talk to it.
Right.
Dude, I know you're there, dude. What's up?
Yeah, right.
Nada, then gone.
Don't be mean to me. Yeah.
Don't be mean.
Exactly.
Help me. I'm good. I'm good to you. You're good to me. Now, you don't charge for this?
No. When we go out to do an investigation, you know, it's always done free of charge. If we have to travel, you know, a real long distance, we might ask you, you know, hey, can you, you know, provide us with gas money? Can you give us a floor to crash on for the night so we don't have to drive back at, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning? But I believe that when you start charging money to go into somebody's house and, you know, perform a paranormal investigation, first off, your results are always going to be inconclusive. You can never go in and say, hey, this place is haunted, because you can't prove the existence of ghosts from a scientific standpoint. You know, it just doesn't work that way. So when you start charging money for something that you can't prove, what really are you charging for? You know, just your presence there. Just, you know, you can't sign off on it and say it's haunted. So I think anytime, you know, money becomes involved in it from that angle, there's a possibility of fraud. You know, maybe somebody's going to give somebody more, you know, more activity, more results than, you know, so that they feel like they're getting their money's worth.
I see. So you could charge every time you come out to the house.
Sure.
And you could really milk it if you're a bad ghost
and
hunter.
And there are a few people out there.
Bad ghost hound.
Exactly. There are a few people out there, and I won't mention any names, but there are a couple of people out there that have sort of alienated themselves in the paranormal community for doing that sort of thing. And we'll never do it.
Well, you don't charge at all. You can go to the website. There is a link up to it from ours right now at allthehitsq100.com to ghosthounds.com. So we asked Patrick to come to all of our homes. Nobody wants a ghost in their house more than Jen Hobby.
I really, really, really would think that was so cool, because I was telling Patrick I've had a couple experiences in my past. One place that I worked when I was growing up in high school, I worked at a bed and breakfast in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. And it's just this old, old house, probably built in the early 1900s, and they converted it into this tea room. It's called the Bay Gables Tea Room and Bed and Breakfast. And both the tea room and the bed and breakfast had strange things happening all the time. And everyone who worked there experienced something or another, whether it was just a weird feeling like things were actually moving out of place, things would be missing. You know, the cooks reported all kinds of things happening in the kitchen constantly. So that was kind of an interesting thing. And then there's always lore in my sorority house at Florida State. And, you know, Florida State was unfortunately the site of where Ted Bundy committed all of those murders.
Right.
And so there was a lot of lore around the sorority houses all throughout Florida State. Even though one of them didn't happen in my house, I still, you know, went through Rush and went through all of the houses. And there was one in particular where the murders happened at Florida State. So there's just a couple of different things. And I'm just fascinated by the possibility of it. I'm fascinated by the unknown. And so I just think that would be so cool to have. I just think it would be so cool to have something in my house. But I really don't think that there... I really don't think it's my house. That's why I'm like, come on, be me.
But you're in the minority. Most people definitely, you know, if they have activity, they want to know how to get rid of it, or at the very least learn how to live with it. It's not something that people say, yeah, I want my house to be haunted.
Well, can you get rid of them? Like,
you know, that is the classic definition of a ghost buster. And there's a difference between a ghost hunter and a ghost buster. The ghost hunter is one who just goes in and tries to document this activity. The ghost buster, quote unquote, or cleanser, is somebody who goes in and actually tries to drive this activity out. And I do not do the later. We simply go in and we try to document this and present people with evidence and say, you know, look, you're not losing your mind.
Mm-hmm.
We got this activity as well. And, you know, maybe there's something going on here. You know, try to live with it if you can.
But there are legitimate companies, legitimate in your mind, companies that will kind of for lack of a better word, scare the ghosts off?
Well, they don't normally scare them off. They usually sort of reason with them. You know, basically, we make a distinction between a ghost and a spirit. There is actually a difference. A spirit is somebody who has died and crossed over to the other side and is able to come back. Okay. If you're talking about the definition of a ghost, this is someone who has died and is trapped between our existence of the living and the next life. Okay. And they are stuck here. They are either stuck here because they are confused. Maybe they died in a very sudden, traumatic way, and they're sort of wandering around in a daze in the afterlife, and they're confused
like
about
the
their
others.
Condition. Exactly.
Like the
exactly.
other end of the island.
Perfect example. Or they feel like they have unfinished business, like Patrick Swayze in the movie Ghost. Mm-hmm. You know, he had to solve his murder or his death to cross over before he felt ready to cross over. And then maybe there are some people that weren't exactly honest people in their lives, did a few questionable things, and they are afraid of crossing over and being judged. So
they
hold themselves here out of fear of what's waiting for them on the other side.
So in the bigger picture then, if you're telling us that what you're telling us is true, then you are confirming to us that there is a heaven and a hell.
I think there's at least some type of afterlife. There's definitely something waiting for us, and what is on the other side of that is, of course, the big mystery to mankind.
And once you go over, you can't come back?
No. That the spirit can come back and visit. Okay, but a ghost, if you're talking about a haunting, yeah, usually they're someone who is stuck in a specific location, either by their own free will or because they're confused.
And you've communicated with these. I mean, they have told you their story, why they're still around.
Well, we don't normally get a direct communication with that. If you wanted to establish a two-way communication, you need to employ the use of a medium, a trance medium, someone who will actually go under into a hypnotic trance. And they basically allow their body to become temporarily possessed for a short time, and you can establish a two-way communication.
Like Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah,
like
Ghost,
Whoopi
right.
Goldberg.
That's exactly
right.
What I was thinking. Yeah.
Very, very rare. It's very difficult to find a medium that will actually allow themselves to go under. I mean, and who can blame them? That's that's kind of a scary thought, to allow yourself to become temporarily possessed by another being for a short period of time. So I'm still looking.
Patrick Burns on with us from Ghost Hounds. He will go to your house. He will look for this kind of activity, and he will tell you if you have somebody or something living in the house there with you. He has gone to our homes. Mm-hmm. He has found that one of our homes has some activity going on, and he'll tell us which one of our homes next year.
And Katie Jo just called me and was freaking out because said, please, please, no, no.
Hey, Michelle, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning. Question is for Patrick. I've heard him say that he can see out of the peripheral vision the ghost or admiration. Are you also able to feel their presence?
Yes, actually. Usually the way we detect a spirit or a ghost in a location is not through direct observation. Usually we infer their presence by the way they affect the environment. Everybody's heard of the cold spot when a ghost is present, when the temperature drops. The theory there is that a ghost is energy. They need energy to continue to exist, and they basically pull the heat out of their environment, the kinetic energy, and they're able to feed off of that. And in doing so, the temperature will drop in a highly localized area that's only a few feet in diameter. There are other things that can happen. The Earth's magnetic fields, which, of course, a compass will align to for magnetic north. If you have a compass in the presence of what we believe to be a ghost, sometimes that compass will sit there and spin. Mm-hmm. It will refuse to align to magnetic north. So we infer their presence with our equipment. It's very rare that you actually observe them directly.
These ghosts that you talk about, you say they're just kind of like stuck in this limbo phase.
Mm-hmm.
That when you say stuck, to me, that means that they don't want to be here. Are any ghosts are just like, you know what, I'm pretty cool here. I think I'm going to hang out here forever.
You know, I've often wondered that. And my mentor in this field is a gentleman by the name of Hans Holzer. And he's the one that actually coined the term ghost hunter back in the 1960s. And he says, no, it's unnatural. It's an unnatural condition for someone to become a ghost. It's a rare condition. And he said, once you realize, once you reveal to them, you know, you're dead and there's something waiting for you beyond this, he said, no one really wants to stay around.
Really? Because, like, if it happened to me early and I didn't get to watch, like, Hayden grow up or something, I'd want to stick around and see, like,
you would
what
think
he turned
so.
Into
you would
and
think
be there
so.
On his wedding day
yeah.
and all that.
I don't necessarily agree with everything that that Dr. Holzer says, and I think there might be exceptions, you know. There are no such things as paranormal experts. I mean, people refer to me, Patrick Burns, our paranormal expert. I'm flattered, but there's no such thing. You can't be an expert in a field that is almost entirely theoretical in nature. Again, like I said, there's so little hard scientific evidence of what we're studying because science demands repeatability, repeatable results under controlled observations. And this is called paranormal activity for a reason, because it falls outside the norm because it doesn't repeat on command. So it's difficult to observe and substantiate, but doesn't necessarily mean it's not real.
Now, I have a question that may be outside of the realm of what you do, but of course, it's Halloween, so you start thinking about all these different things, about people becoming possessed and exorcisms and that sort of thing.
Right.
Are you familiar with any of that? How does somebody become possessed and in need of an exorcism?
You know, we really, the Ghost Hounds organization doesn't really deal in cases like that. If we get a case where someone, they believe that they may have a case of possession, I usually refer that on to somebody who specializes in that field. That's admittedly a little bit over my head and a little bit further into it than I want to get.
But you feel like that definitely can and does happen?
I'm open to all possibilities. Mm-hmm. I really am. And certainly, you know, the Catholic Church, they don't administer exorcisms very often, but they do. There are documented cases where the Catholic Church is very objective, very, very skeptical. You know, they go in, they have to see actual proof before they will condone mm-hmm. an exorcism. And they don't do it very often, but when they do go in, you know, when they actually send somebody in and say, yeah, something's going on here, it's pretty interesting. There might be something to it.
Got a whole bunch of people that have questions for you, so we'll run through some commercials, and when we come back, we'll spend a couple more minutes with you, take a couple of calls, and then we'll find out which Burt Show member's home has some paranormal activity going on. And we've got audio from the home. Patrick found something. We'll play it for you next year on Q100.
The Burt Show.
So Patrick Burns, we continue our talk with him. People are fascinated by this whole subject just because you can't see it normally. You can't feel it. You can't touch it. So I think it's this wanting to get knowledge of the unknown.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's really one of the last great mysteries of mankind. You know, what happens to us after this life?
Well, it gives you confirmation that there is
sure.
more than just being buried in the
absolutely,
ground.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to me, and I think most people that get into ghost hunting, it's a spiritual thing, you know, beyond what mainstream religion teaches us. You know, here's what you're supposed to believe. Here's what's mm-hmm. written in the Bible. Here's some actual evidence of an afterlife, and that can be very strong from a spiritual perspective on your belief.
Hey, system. James, good morning. You're on
Q100. What's going on, fellas?
What's happening?
My question is, can a ghost or a spirit physically harm you?
I hear this question asked to me all the time. It is extremely, extremely rare if it can even happen. I had an instance where I did an investigation in a cemetery. And the cemetery is local here to Atlanta. It's, there's almost, it's taken on an urban legend persona almost because of the crazy stuff that goes on here. One of the things that people report is that they come out of this place with scratch marks on their body. And I'm, okay, whatever, right? And I was taken by a small group to go and investigate this a couple of years ago. And I got home. Getting undressed, getting ready for bed, and I happen to catch a glimpse of myself in the mirror, and there are scratch marks on my body. There's like four or five scratch marks on my arms, my torso, and my leg, and they're all going in the same direction. Okay, and you know, people want, you know, the skeptic wants to dismiss it, say, oh, you just ran into a thorn bush. Well, no, normally a thorn bush encounter is something you remember because it's rather unpleasant. And, you know, I tried to recreate it. There's no way to scratch yourself like this through clothing. You know, anything that could inflict that would get caught on the fibers of your shirt or your clothing. But I think most instances, okay, if that was an injury, okay, they're very late scratch marks. They went away within a couple of days. Most instances where somebody is quote unquote injured by a ghost, if you look at it, if you look at the report, what usually happens is somebody turns around, they see grandmother standing there, and they freak out, they stumble, they might trip and fall down the stairs. So it's more of a secondary reaction than it is the ghost pushed you down the stairs.
Gotcha.
One thing about Pat, I mean, because I had seen Patrick speak a couple times at Dragon Con, and one of the things I liked about Patrick and am fascinated by hearing him talk is the fact that he comes from a skeptical point of view. Like he's saying, he's trying to come at it from a scientific point of view. You can't prove it scientifically. And
absolutely.
So, and he doesn't charge. And so I think that's one of the things I like about ghost towns is because it's a hobby and it's a fascination, but it's one that you're willing to dismiss something that is not obviously paranormal.
Oh, absolutely.
Activity.
Absolutely. You have to rule out the logical explanation first off. You know, somebody says, well, I'm hearing this banging sound from behind our wall every night. I'm like, okay, well, you know, go in there and investigate a little bit. Maybe there's a hot water pipe that needs to be tied down. And there goes your ghost. Your ghost is gone. You know, we try to rule out all the possible explanations first. And then at the end of the day, it's still inconclusive. But, you know, it becomes kind of an interesting mystery when you try to rule it out and you can't.
Mm-hmm. Then there are the Gen Hobbies who will force the issue and bang things and then pretend that it was a ghost that actually did it.
I wish. Have you ever done any ghost hunting outside of the country?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. There are a number of locations throughout the world that I would just, you know, pardon the pun, die to get into. Tower of London comes to mind. There's a place in Jamaica called Rose Hall, which has some really crazy stories. I'd love to go investigate the Mayan ruins in Mexico. You know, at some point I'd love to put an audio recording device on the bow of the Titanic, leave it down there for about a week and come back. Let's see if, you know, can we actually record our shipwrecks on the bottom of the ocean haunted? I've always wondered that.
My bar's set way lower than that. I'd just like to hear what's going on, like Claremont Lounge and what has happened there for the last 100 years.
Or in the hotel.
That's what
Patrick,
I really want to know.
Even Patrick's too scared to go.
Yeah. So Patrick came over to our homes one by one a couple of weeks ago, and he brings some recording equipment with him, but not like I thought you were going to come in with like this duffel bag of stuff and you were going to set up all this equipment.
Right.
You're going to be there for 7 hours. You had the headphones on staring into a screen. Wasn't like that at all.
Well, we do that sometimes, you know, with obviously on my time constraints, I kind of had to do a very preliminary investigation. We walk in. Typically, one of my favorite pieces of equipment to use is a digital voice recorder. And these are typically used by students and business executives to record lectures and notes. And everything is stored digitally on this small pocket sized device. And, you know, when you roll it back, you listen for audio, you listen for voices, extra voices from people that weren't present at the time the recording was made. We refer to that as EVP, which stands for electronic voice phenomena. There was a movie starring Michael Keaton about 2 years ago that came out called White Noise that dabbled in that. And first 20 minutes of that movie were pretty good up until the point where they explained what EVP is and how you record it. And then it just went downhill from there. And the creative
got all Hollywood
machine,
on you.
Yeah. Yeah, the Hollywood machine took over from there, but it did kind of bring EVP out of obscurity and make it more of a household word term. So that's what we were looking for, and I walked through each of your homes with the digital voice recorder. I went to your home, and I went to Melissa's and to Jen's. And I got some activity in one of your homes.
All right, let's one by one ask him. Did you find anything in my house?
I think you're off the hook.
Okay, nothing in my house.
Nothing apparently. Now, it was a 20-minute recording session we did, and like I said, there's the repeatability factor. Just because I didn't get something the first time in there doesn't mean we can
go back. You don't
have
to justify it to me. All I need to hear is that there's nothing in my house.
Okay. Yes, Bert, there's nothing in your house.
Okay,
thank you. Your house is unhaunted. Right.
Was there anything in Jen Hobby's house?
Jen's house, I believe, is where I picked up an EVP voice.
Really?
Yes.
Are you serious?
And her house was actually the one that I suspected might have some activity because it's in a very historical location.
So happy.
And it's worth, and I got something interesting in there, and I think it's possibly worth worth another look. We recorded some audio. Man. It's not the clearest audio that I've recorded.
Okay.
But I think there is something there.
You want me to play it right now?
This sure, let's go ahead and listen to it.
Yeah. Now, it's only 3 seconds long, okay?
Yeah.
For me, when I got into it, it was...
I heard somebody, a ghost that sounds very much like you.
Yeah, it comes just before I say, you hear, you have to listen to it very carefully. You'll hear what I think says, hi.
For me, when I got into it, it was...
Can't hear it there. Did you guys pick up on it?
Can't hear
well, Jen's going to say, yeah, of course she heard it.
Yeah, like, I heard it. I heard it. He said, hi, Jen. Can't. I'm happy to be in your house.
I can't hear like it. I want to listen again.
Yeah, if you go in, Bert, actually further down in that file that I gave you there, I've actually isolated it later on.
Okay, I've got a shorter clip, and then there's an isolated clip. So let's play the shorter clip first. And again, this is right before you say the word
Yes, I think I'm, yeah.
It was,
Can't hear. Here's the isolated one.
Yeah, it's right before I say it.
Just sounds like static to me.
Yeah. I think there's something in there. It's not, like I said, I apologize. It's not the clearest audio that I recorded, but there might be something there.
I know you want something to say like, get out. I'm
no,
here.
No, actually, that's bad. You don't want that, but...
I can't hear it. Can you guys hear it?
It sounds like it's going, hi. It's so short. It was literally just before I said it. And maybe there's nothing there, but I would be interested to come back.
Can we
back
hear the long hit clip again?
Sweet.
He's so excited.
For me, when I got into it, it was...
It was just before I say it.
I can't hear it.
It was...
Jen's like, clear as day.
I hear it.
A lot of times EVP is in the ear of the beholder.
So now it would make sense to us that if there was any activity in any one of our homes, I think Jen's home is probably in more of a historical place than the rest of ours.
Well, I was going to ask you why you thought maybe it would be more in my home.
Well, and that is, again, the thing about Atlanta that I had said earlier is there's so much... It's we don't really know what was in a lot of locations. Where your home is, which I think is on the east side of the city, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is actually a little bit more historical. We know that that part of the battle for Atlanta was fought there. Some of the Confederate troops were actually in that area, and there were a lot of skirmishes and little battles that go on. Now, also, Melissa, we did. I sat in your in your rec room, and we recorded for what was it about better part of an hour.
Mm-hmm.
We sat there and we just chatted. We chatted about our experiences and stuff that we have experienced. And a lot of times that's the way we record our best EVP is to just instead of asking questions and waiting for a reply, is to just carry on a casual conversation. And many times you get something, you get these voices that chime in.
The Bert Show.
All right, Haas is at Palm Beach Tan. Hey, Haas.
Hey, what's up, man?
The way it works is, if I understood them correctly, you step into the booth, it goes beep, beep, it'll beep 5 times, and then for 3 seconds, and then it beeps again, and during those next 5 beeps, you actually turn around.
Okay.
And then, and then it's done.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you this morning?
Good, how are you?
All right, Andrew, your first question. If you get it right, fantastic. If you get it wrong, Haas has to get spray tanned for the first time.
All right, sounds good.
And again, we have 10 questions to rattle through. Your first question. Georgia law requires employers to grant their workers up to how many hours to vote on the day of the election?
You have already given this answer out during today's show,
right,
Bert.
You helped us out.
Easy.
I would say up to 2 hours.
2 hours. That is absolutely correct.
Wow, all right.
All right, good job, big man.
Congratulations,
good
Andrew.
Job.
You saved him, okay?
All right, very nice.
You know what, man?
Hey, Zach?
Yes.
How are you?
Doing good.
All right, to register to vote in the state of Georgia, you must be a citizen of the United States, a legal resident of Georgia, and of the county in which you wish to vote, and at least 18 years of age by election day. If you meet those requirements, there are only two reasons you may not register to vote in Georgia. Tell me one of those reasons.
You're a felon.
You are a felon, serving any sentence imposed by the conviction of a felony. Congratulations.
Nicely done.
There you go.
Very nicely done.
You're doing good, Haas.
I'm not going to get tan today.
Very good.
Can I have one of those questions?
What do you mean?
Oh, Jeff's going to get it wrong on purpose.
Are you going to ask the second? Didn't you say there were two reasons?
Yeah, the second reason there was...
Don't say. See if Jeff knows.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Well, then let's play with you.
Go. Oh, no. Go get to
Okay,
it.
So these are the two reasons why somebody would not be allowed to vote. And we've already covered age and citizenship and county residency, right?
Now, you can't register if you're a felon. We know that.
If you're a felon,
give me the second reason. If you get it wrong, Haas has to get tan.
I legitimately don't know.
Oh, they're just starting. They're just saying it's starting. I can't get out of here.
Stop talking. Your teeth will get tan. I was going to say military,
it
but...
It stinks, I can't breathe.
What happened? Why did it start?
I think
because we got it wrong.
We haven't got it wrong. Haas.
Yo.
Why did they fire that? We didn't get it wrong yet.
I don't know. Apparently it's censored. Like if you stand near the sensor, then it just starts and the door closes and everything.
That was funny. He was like, the door's closing.
I can't get out. I can't get out.
Hey, Nicole, good morning. How are you?
Good.
During their last debate for governor, one of the candidates said this: take 10 of your kin and put the big guy in. Which candidate uttered those words?
Sonny Perdue.
I am sorry. That is not right.
No! I don't like this.
Dude, you got to keep your mouth shut, I think.
God. Oh, God, I'm about to vomit.
Wendy?
Yes.
How are you? Your question. I think this one is so easy. Haas, you don't have to worry about this one. Wendy, it would be a major upset if this mainstream political party took charge of the House and the Senate in Georgia today.
The Democratic Party.
The Democratic Party is absolutely right. Congratulations.
Nicely done.
Thank you. Thank you, Wendy.
Good morning, Lindsay.
Hello, Bert Show.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Lindsay, voters are required to present identification at their polling place prior to casting their ballot. Which one of the following is not considered proper identification, okay?
Okay.
Not considered proper identification in Georgia.
Okay.
A current utility bill, a valid Georgia license to carry a pistol or revolver, a valid library card, or a current utility bill showing the name and address of the elector?
Can you repeat the question? Because you said utility bill twice.
Actually, there's only three choices there. I think I rattled off one twice. So what is not considered proper identification? A current utility bill, a valid Georgia license to carry a pistol or revolver, or a valid library card?
Library card.
I would say a current utility bill
The which one?
Utility bill. She said the utility bill.
The utility bill is proper identification. I'm sorry.
Oh, it is?
Yep.
Who doesn't know that? Is it a library card?
Actually, the library card is not considered proper identification.
Tried to help her.
Duh.
Hey, Haas,
Yeah.
Get back at you for being mean to me when I called you to talk to Fallon.
Oh, I didn't do anything. Stop, man. Forget this. I'm not answering phones anymore. I haven't done anything.
Is that him taking a deep breath?
Okay, Megan, no person may campaign, distribute literature of written or printed matter of any kind, wear campaign buttons, signs, pins, stickers, t-shirts, nothing, circulate petitions, or perform similar activities within how many feet of the building in which a polling place is located?
50 feet.
50 feet. I am sorry.
Is it, a,
oh, no.
is it 100 feet?
It is 150 feet.
Wow.
No.
So wait, well, combined, we both got it right.
Yeah. I guess 500.
All right, here we go, people. Carry on.
Oh.
Dude, I feel like I'm in a gas chamber in there.
Oh, make sure you can breathe.
You want to go outside and just take a breather just real quick?
God.
Or you want to get this over with?
Shouldn't you be wearing like a mask of some sort?
You know what, Jeff? Right now, shut up.
Yay! I love Jeff. I love Haas already.
I'm just trying to make sure everything works out okay.
Glad you are.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, man. The stakes are high here, dude. You got to help Haas out.
I hope I can, because he's getting bad.
That's four times already.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
All right, Scott, easy question for you, man. If one didn't like the Democratic or Republican candidates for governor, you could always vote for Garrett Michael Hayes from the what party?
The Independent Party.
Oh.
Mm. Haas.
Please.
Sorry, bro.
God!
Blame the libertarians.
Jesus, people, where is politics?
You know what? Unfortunately, libertarians jack up a lot of elections. So.
God. All right, session's activated. Great. Loving this right now. 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2.
Oh, God. Does Haas have any appearances coming up that people can see him?
Oh,
no.
We will book him.
Yeah. Now we will have one. Isn't he at Wild Bill soon or something like that?
Can't breathe.
Kelly, good morning.
Good morning.
Kelly, you are his last great hope.
Come on, Kelly.
All right, 6 spray tans. I mean, 5 is a lot. 6 is over the top. And he hasn't even been doing it right, so he's all streaked. And we just got to get him out
he's
of there.
His hair and
creamsicle.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, Kelly. This one, I mean, if you've been following the elections at all.
You can do it, Kelly. You can do it, Kelly.
That doctor on Oprah thinks that you overall have too much bile.
What?
Because of Haas's color. Not Kelly, but Haas.
Oh, yeah. No, sorry, Kelly.
Kelly, here you go. The person inevitably responsible for making sure today's election runs smoothly is the Secretary of State. What is the name of the person of Georgia's Secretary of State?
Hold on, let me think about it for a second.
Oh, God, here we go. Come on, Kelly, please.
I'm sorry.
Is it counting
Google
down?
Google something real quick.
Did I hear that girl counting down, that robotic
sounded
girl?
Like it,
I think she's anticipating a wrong answer here. You got nothing?
Please step out of the booth. You have reached
the
danger level.
Choices?
No, I cannot.
Oh, please.
Oh,
no.
Kelly.
I have no idea.
Say something.
Got to give you a couple seconds, Kelly. Three.
This is the kind of thing, if you don't know immediately,
2,
you don't
just
know.
Throw a name out.
I have no clue.
1.
God!
I'm sorry.
Please.
Mm.
She didn't even try for you, Haas.
I know. Thanks, Kelly.
Kelly.
That
she didn't even,
so
she,
sweet.
She could have just thrown out a Sonny Perdue or something.
Here it is.
That, of course, was Kathy Cox.
Who ran against Mark Taylor in the primaries, so she was in the news. I think you should be shouting at Kelly. The last time, Hoss.
I can't breathe.
Oh, poor.
Hey, Hoss, you're all done. That was easy.
Way to go, Hoss.
That's it, man. You're done, bro.
Didn't I originally say this was a public service thing?
Yeah, yeah, you sure did.
How?
Hoss, how you doing?
Because we educated the list.
I'm soaked in stuff.
Again, the pictures of of Haas pre- and post-election day spray tan trivia are going to be up online at allthehitsq100.com.
The Burt Show.